Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Jesus Christ is alive. That is the good news that we proclaim the world over. And if we proclaim that Jesus Christ is alive and truly believe that that is the case, then we believe that God raised him from the dead.
Yes.
That is the message. That is the hinge on which Christianity turns. You can't have Christianity apart from the resurrection of Christ. Paul talks about that. It was such an important issue to him. You see this subject of resurrection in every chapter that he writes. Maybe the word resurrection is not there. Maybe the word raised to life is not there. But the fingerprints are dripping, or just all over. You can see them everywhere. Resurrection, it just fills Paul's letters from start to finish. But there's one central chapter on resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. It's where Paul talks about the resurrection of Christ. He asks some very important questions in verse 12. He says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised." Now, that was the message that was being preached by the apostles, the 12, and then the apostle Paul as well. That was the message, this Jesus that was crucified. And in the Jewish audience, Peter would look and say, "Whom you crucified,
yes,
God has raised back to life, and it's through him that we can have eternal life and receive the gift of God's Spirit." Paul took that message to the Gentile world. It's all about resurrection. Why is that so important? Because that's what we need. Mm-hmm. You and I are dead in sin. We need to be raised back to life. And in being raised back to life, we have the promise of bodily resurrection as well. And that's what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 15, that there was a bodily resurrection, that body of Christ that was subject to death, that actually died, that was put in a grave, that has been raised back to life, and that body has put on immortality, incorruptibility. It will endure forever. In the same vein, one day we're going to get resurrected bodies. These old bodies are going to put on immortality. That's the hope that we live in. And so if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, that's what is being preached. How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead, that that's not going to happen? And certainly that was the case. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. There's lots of elements to this story of Christ. But if the main element, the main piece of the story, the fact that he was raised back to life, isn't true, then all preaching is useless, it is futile, and our faith has no value at all. Yes. That's why Paul keeps hammering the point, do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? That's the issue. If he wasn't raised from the dead, we should just pitch this Bible.
Why waste our time?
Yeah, find any other philosophy that works. But the fact that he was raised from the dead, and I love what Paul says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead.
Yes.
It is true. It is a fact. There's evidence that supports it. We can say with confidence, Jesus is alive today, and because we can, our faith has value.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. 1-844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Call right now. We would love to hear from you. And think about this question. If you were called upon to make the case for the resurrection, what evidence would you offer? What is the singular most important piece of evidence that you could bring to the table to prove the case that Jesus was indeed raised from the dead? We'd love to hear from you on that particular issue on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742, where we're going to go to Huntsville, Alabama, and talk to Thomas listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Thomas.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you today?
Oh, doing just fine. Of course, I was in Bible study last night, and my question that was asked me last night in the class was, did I know who Naomi's mother was? And I could not answer that question. So I thought, well, I need to talk to some experts to see if they have an answer for me.
Well, that's a interesting question, one that has never been posed on this broadcast
first.
Ever before. So this is a first for us.
Okay, well, I'll leave my number, and if you all can find it out, to call me back later.
Okay, well, you know, the story of Naomi is really in the book of Ruth. And, you know, Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law, but I'm not sure that we get the full detail as far as Naomi's mother. And that's what you were asking, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't believe
that was actually asked the class members.
Yeah, I don't believe it's said anywhere in the Bible who her mother was.
Okay. Well, that answers the question.
Yeah, so we don't know.
Don't know, okay. But what happened in the class, the young lady who asked the question said one of her friends said he knew, so he sent her to church to ask the question to see if the church knew. And I thought, well, I don't understand that. But anyway, well, we just by what the Bible say, and what I say then is, we don't know, like what you all are saying.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay, well, I appreciate you, fellas. Y'all keep up the good work, and God bless each one of you and your radio ministry, and we'll be talking again later.
Okay. Well, thank you, Thomas.
Thanks
for your call. We certainly appreciate hearing from you. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We welcome you to the broadcast as well. If you have a question that you would like to pose on today's program, we would love to hear from you. Plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. As we've been talking about, this resurrection is really the centerpiece of the gospel message. It truly is the heart and soul. It's the fact, it's the truth that punches death in the face and says, death, you're impotent. You have no more power over mankind. And that's what we need to know. But the question mark is, how do we make the resurrection the central piece of our lives on a day-to-day basis? You know, Paul talked about, I want to live in the power of the resurrection. I want to know the power of the resurrection. Well, we still have sin knocking at our door. We still have temptations that come our way. We still have a world system which is constantly bombarding us and trying to pull us away from our relationship with Christ. We can't defeat those things. We can't stand up against those things apart from the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. So we as believers need to learn how to abide in that and allow that resurrection power to flow through us, to stand up against the currents of this world and actually move us in a different direction where we can see the fruit of the Spirit being expressed and manifested in our day-to-day lives. So this isn't just a fact that we're to intellectually agree to. This is real life. Resurrection is real life for us. It's the power that helps us through the nitty-gritty of day-to-day stuff that comes our way. So how do we make the resurrection the central part of our lives? How do we live in that power each and every day? And it's a simple answer. It's by faith. Mm-hmm. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. It is always you know, God's plan is always by grace through faith. We think of it in terms of by grace and add human effort to it, human responsibility, religious traditions, rules and regulations, human philosophy, human understanding. All of these various things we try to bring and put into the equation, but it never works. There's only one equation that works, and that's by grace through faith. And so our job is simply to trust Jesus in each and every situation. Lord, what does it mean to trust you right now? And as we do, that's when we really tap into the power of the resurrection on a day-to-day basis. Some of you listening today may be struggling with a particular sin. Men, it could be pornography or lust. Women, it could be greed or, you know,
worry or
all those sort of things. There's one thing that most of us struggle with, and we know individually what that is, and we try to break free. We try to escape the firm grip that it has in our lives. But we do it because we're adding by grace and human effort to the equation. We're doing it by human effort. We're trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We're trying to escape through our own intellects, through our own understanding. And God says, let's put that aside and let's get back to the basic plan, by grace through faith. And as we trust the risen Christ, who is alive, living in us, we can see victory start to take place in our lives. We can see freedom coming to us as far as those sins are concerned. So that's why this is so vitally important for us to truly understand that Christ was raised, and because he has been raised, he's now alive, living inside of us.
Yes, we often say here to people that forgiveness is the doorway to life. Until you settle the forgiveness issue, the fact that Jesus died once and for all for any and every sin you've ever committed, you can't really enter into life. Well, that's true, but you also can't enter into life without a life, and Jesus is that life. So you have to settle the resurrection. And one of the things that made it clear to me back in the day was the realization that the Holy Spirit has been given to me could have only been a reality if Jesus was raised from the dead.
Yeah.
So I had to settle the resurrection. And you know, I used to argue, well, why don't I see any fruit of the Spirit? Why don't I see better performance in my life? Well, because I wasn't accepting the risen Jesus. I'd thought about the Jesus who died for me, but I never thought about the Jesus who rose for me. And so you have to settle both things. That's why the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. The resurrection is what defines our hope for the future. Because Jesus was raised, I can be raised.
And we need that hope to anchor us.
Yes.
So there's we see in the Word of God this triplicate of faith, hope, and love. Well, hope is the anchor. Mm-hmm. Hope allows us to trust today. If there was no hope, we would abandon faith.
Yes.
And just try to make the best of it. Mm-hmm. We would eat, drink, and be merry for, you know, tomorrow we die type of thing. So hope anchors us and allows us to trust in spite of what the world is saying to us. Mm-hmm. If we had no hope, we would just give in to the world system.
Yes.
So hope is so vitally important. And what is our hope? It's the hope of the resurrection of these bodies of ours, where these bodies will put on immortality. And that is what resurrection is all about. That's why it's so vitally important for us to understand that Jesus was raised physically. There are many philosophies out there. Gnosticism, for example, did not believe that Jesus was raised physically, that it was just a spiritual resurrection.
Because he wasn't physical in the first place.
That's exactly right. So if we deny the physical resurrection, out goes the gospel.
Yes.
There is no good news for us. it's just something that we become enlightened to, and it's just kind of an intellectual exercised at that particular point. So we need to truly believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. As Paul wrote in Romans, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's no mention in this particular couplet of death. It's just all about believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. Why? Because we need to know that God has power over death, that death is no enemy as far as he is concerned. Death is not victorious.
Yes.
God is, and God demonstrated that by raising Christ from the dead.
I've got an email question here that is very closely related to this, especially since we've been in 1 Corinthians 15. I need your help in understanding the phrase under his feet as used in various passages. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it's 25 through 28. Let me read that real quick. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that does not include God himself who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all and in all. Now, what is Paul talking about? This is the great resurrection chapter. What is Paul talking about in this particular place?
Well, in particular, in 1 Corinthians, he is talking about death.
Yes.
Death was an enemy. Well, once this resurrection occurs, you know, death has been defeated for all. Oh, death, where is your sting?
Yes.
And we say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's this great victory cry from all of us at that point. Right now, even though we've been raised to life spiritually, this new life is being lived out in this body of flesh. Well, this body is still subject to death. Yes. It will go to a grave unless the Lord comes back before that happens.
And then it'll be transformed.
Yes, it will be changed. But if the Lord tarries, these bodies are going to go into a grave. And so death still, you know, has a hold on these bodies. Not our spirits, not our souls, but these bodies. And there's going to be a time where that is wiped away totally. And that's when it goes under Jesus. It's already, death has already been crushed.
Yes.
And we're going to see it for ourselves in the great resurrection.
Correct.
Well, thanks for your call, or thanks for the email. We certainly appreciate that. If you do not have a chance to call us on the broadcast and would like a question answered on the program, you can certainly email that question to us. The email address to do so is bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. We will take that and answer it as quickly as we possibly can. So if you would like to interact with us and be a part of the program that way, please take advantage of it. Again, that email address is bob@basicgospel.net. Well, we have a wonderful offer this month. It is Andrew Farley's book, The Naked Gospel. If you are looking for a resource to help you in your walk with the Lord, to help you know more fully of his love and grace, to help you understand more deeply about the forgiveness that you have in Christ and the new life that you have in Christ through his resurrection, then this is a wonderful, wonderful resource. It has helped countless thousands of people across this country. It has helped pastors. It is just one of those books that will really help you see the gospel in a whole new light and will give you that sense of hope and peace and rest that you've always been looking for. So that's what we want to put in your hands, and it is available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. So a gift of $25, a gift of $100, a gift of $1,000, we want to send this to you as our way of saying thanks. And your gift will help us continue proclaiming this good news through the airwaves. And it's important that this gospel message gets out. There are many people who will not go inside of a church,
yes,
but they're struggling. They want to know God. They want to know truth. They want to shed their fear and guilt and shame. They want to be released from those bondages and walk into freedom, but they feel like church isn't the place to go. I think they're mistaken about that. There may be some churches that you don't want to go to, but they're afraid to go into those doors. They feel like they have to be something that they're not.
Yes.
But they'll tune into a radio broadcast or listen on the internet, and they do so with an open heart. They don't have to pretend. They can just receive the message in its full power and scope, and they don't have to try to be something that they're not. That's where the power of radio comes in.
Yes.
And so when you give, you're helping people who are seeking for those answers find those answers. So it's a win-win. You get a great gift, a great resource to help you in your walk with Christ. You in turn help others come to find the answers they're looking for in
yes.
Christ Jesus as well. All the information on how to give is at basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button and follow all the instructions, and we'll get that book, The Naked Gospel, to you as quickly as we can. Well, let's go out to Livermore and talk to William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. I don't know if the earlier caller is still listening, but his question about Naomi's mother, for some reason, I have the feeling that it may be Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho, and it might require some research of the lineages listed in Matthew and Luke, as well as research in the Book of Ruth. But I know that David was the son of Jesse and Jesse of Obed, and Obed was Ruth's son.
Correct.
And for some reason, that just stands out to me. So that might be the answer to that question.
Okay. Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention. We appreciate that, William.
All right. Thanks.
All right. God bless. Thanks for your call, as always. I love listeners who engage and look it up and bring that kind of stuff to our attention. So we appreciate William. But talking about resurrection, we're talking about that being the very central issue of the Christian life. We have felt needs. We walk around feeling guilty, feeling distant, feeling dirty, feeling shameful, all of those things. And we want help on those particular issues, but there's a deeper issue at play, and it's the fact that we're dead in sin. That reality is what springs forth all these other things. The fact that I am dead spiritually, or that I was dead spiritually, is the very thing that brought guilt and shame to play in my life. But when I realized that I had been made alive in Christ, when that deep need of life occurred in me, when I went from death to life, that's when those other things started shedding away.
Yes.
And so when we talk about the basic gospel, we're talking about the central issue of the resurrection. Jesus Christ wants to make you alive. Christianity is not a self-improvement program. It's not a new religion. Christianity is Christ doing for us through his resurrection what we could not do for ourselves. He had to die to take away the sin issue, the very thing that killed us, that brought spiritual death to each and every one of us. He took that away once and for all. He was raised to life so that he could make us alive. Have you been made alive together with Christ Jesus? If not, I encourage you to open your heart, receive him today. Allow his resurrection to become a reality in your life.
Yes.
That's when your life can become a good news story. Well, this is Basic Gospel. This is a listener-supported program. We need your help. If you can help us today, we would greatly appreciate it. Just go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and help us. Send a gift, whatever it is, whatever amount, that's between you and the Lord. Just come and join us. Be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. We'll look forward to being with you again tomorrow. See you then.